This is a new day and a new year. Welcome to syndicatednews.net. This is Ruthie from Tell Me. So happy to see you again. So happy to be here bringing you new music and bringing you new ideas. Now, if you have something to gripe about or something you want to share with us, drop us a line, news@syndicatednews.net. We'd love to hear it. And if it's really interesting, we'll air it. We're always in the market for a new story.
This is Diana Harrison, and you're listening to syndicatednews.net radio.
Thank you all for being here. I'm so excited that you're here. I want to grab Georgia Lee Lang. Hi, Georgia Lee.
Hi, Jill. I'm here.
I am so glad you're here. The show just started, and I'm happy to have you here. I'm going to give a quick introduction, and then we'll get right to you. Hang on 1 second. Everybody,
okay.
This is Family Matters, and I am so happy to have you all here tonight for this exciting show. Of course, we have Carrie Kasem, the legendary Casey Kasem's daughter, on with us tonight. But first, we're going to be talking with Georgia Lee Lang, who is shares with me something in common, a lot of things in common, I think, but one thing is I am a founding member of Leading Women for Shared Parenting, and she is on the Shared Parenting, Leading Women for Shared Parenting in that group, and we are so happy to have her. She has been practicing as a trial and appellate lawyer in Vancouver for 25 years, but if you look at her pictures, you would think it would only be 5 years, and I have to say, there are multiple faces of Georgia Lee Lang, because you look like Goldie Hawn and Kate Hudson, and everybody kind of rolled into one. You're that gorgeous lawyer that everybody wants to be, Georgia Lee.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, it's funny. I'm often told that I look like the Hawn family. My sister even more so. She's blonde. I'm a redhead, of course. But anyway, you're very flattering, and thank you for the compliment.
I just ordered a book today about redheads all over the world that's got a billion redheads in it. They're saying that we're going to be extinct soon, but I don't think that's true.
I've heard about that book as well, Jill.
Well, we're going to have to just prove them, because we're not going anywhere. I'll tell you that.
Nope.
But something interesting, Bill Hudson, actually, who was Goldie Hawn's ex-husband, is a friend of mine and an alienated father. And I don't know if you know that Kate Hudson and her brother Oliver are alienated from their dad and have been for many years since Kate was 14. So Bill wrote a great book and has been silent, unfortunately, since his book came out. But it's another case of alienation that rears its ugly head. So we
I remember reading that many years ago, but I'd forgotten. That's right too. He was an alienated father. Just tragic.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a great guy, and it's unfortunate, just wanting a relationship for he and his mom with his kids, and we did a great interview together and have had dinner, and he's just a terrific, terrific guy. But anyway, let's talk about some things that are sort of happening in the United States, and you're in Vancouver, but you have an office in California, correct?
I do, yes. I've got an office in Palm Desert.
Well, what a great place to have an office.
It is, actually. I like it a lot. I'm calling from Palm Desert now.
How nice for you. At least you're having some weather that you can tolerate. You know, back in the Midwest, we've been having this horrible batch of, I don't even know what to call it, but I love snow. I have Bernese mountain dogs, and we love all that. But I have to tell you, it's getting a little old here. So
yeah, that's right. You get tired of it fairly quickly, right?
Yeah. Need to send some of that our way, some of that nice Palm Springs, Palm Desert sunshine.
Okay.
But all across the United States and Canada, and I don't know if you know my dear friend Brian Ludmer, who is in Toronto, but Brian is the leading legal expert in the world, and I don't want to call anything on you, but he has devoted himself to parental alienation worldwide, and he is doing an amazing job. But he's telling me that some really great things are happening in Canada in family law, and I have to tell you, in the United States, we're making some real headway. When I started this 10, 11 years ago, it was not even baby steps. But now we're seeing some movement, and one of the things that's so exciting that happened on Saturday was that our governor in New Mexico signed a law that protects service members' child custody while they're fighting, while they're deployed. And I think that is an incredible law that Susana Martinez signed and championed. And what an incredible thing for service members who are over trying to protect our freedom in the United States and having to worry about being served with custody papers. They don't have to do that any longer. So
well,
that's exciting.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Yes. That's a great improvement because I can't imagine what it'd be like to be overseas away from your children and come back and be struggling to see them if, you know, in the event the marriage is broken down or whatever the issues are. So that's terrific.
Well, I can't even tell you how many service members I have call me when they come back home from deployment who have said, you know, I'm being alienated from my children. I haven't seen my children. I don't know where my children are. They moved. My wife divorced me while I was gone. You know, so it's a horrible, horrible thing to have to be in that position. And it's great that politicians, our elected officials, are finally picking up this banner and taking notice of what's going on. In Connecticut, last week, we had showings in the Connecticut legislature of the movie Divorce Corp, which is incredible. So things are happening, but I want you to tell me what's going on in Canada. And you know what, we've talked a lot in the Leading Women for Shared Parenting group about exciting things, and we have a lot of international members, including you. So what's happening in Canada that would be beneficial for us to know about and maybe some legislation that we could support here?
All right. Well, you know, like you said, Jill, you know, 10, 11 years ago, there wasn't really a lot happening. There was a lot of people wanting to make changes. But I think what's happened in Canada, and I think it's almost internationally, is that the family law system has now been identified by legislatures, professors, parents, litigants, lawyers, as being completely dysfunctional. And, mm-hmm. and I think that we've had three or four major papers and discussions come out of various universities in Canada, and also our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Canada issued a report saying that the family law system has just completely broken down. And when people talk about that, they focus mainly on child custody because that is the most offensive and egregious area of the law, the way it has been meted out in the last couple of decades and, of course, before that. What we have now is there's been a couple of attempts to have a presumption of shared parenting become part of our law, and there's been significant resistance over the years, and there still is. But thankfully, right now, we have a member of parliament who's the equivalent of one of your congressmen or senators mm-hmm. who has brought forward a private member's bill, which is permitted in our House of Commons, which asks the House of Commons to consider changing the law to move towards a presumption of shared custody, shared physical custody. And it's interesting, you mentioned Brian Ludmer. I know that he's been very involved in that bill and is one of the lead primary movers and shakers in moving it forward. In our system, it goes through various readings. It's already passed first reading, and it was scheduled for second reading mid-March. That's now been delayed, but only by a few days. And so it'll go to second reading. And we do have a conservative government, which is equivalent to your Republican government,
yes.
That is in favor of joint physical parenting and shared parenting. But, you know, it's tricky. It's politics. And, of course, you're a local politician.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
you
am.
Know what politics is like.
I do.
So it's difficult. It's difficult. But and unfortunately, there's still a lot of lawyers who, you know, refuse to stand up for shared parenting. And I don't know what the resistance is because,
really?
You know, having done this, I don't get it. I call them dinosaur lawyers, but I have to say that they're not that old. Some of them are quite new, you know, been practicing law for 10 or 15 years. They've seen enough of what's going on, and they still refuse to look at the research and refuse to open their eyes to see that this, you know, this sort of marginalization of fathers is so wrong for children and has caused so much damage over the last couple of decades, but they're not there yet. We're hoping, of course, that our government recognizes the new research makes these changes. So we're optimistic.
And I hope I hope that in saying the marginalization of fathers, it also crosses over to mothers, because when you take the piece of the pie that talks about parental alienation, there certainly isn't any gender issue there. It is
no.
as many mothers as it is fathers, and so I really try to make that clear to people, because it's just I mean I can line up brokenhearted mothers from Maine to California, and I can line up the same fathers.
Yeah, you know, Jill, I agree with you. In fact, the first very complicated parental alienation case I did was a father who had control and custody of a 14-year-old girl whose mm-hmm. mother hadn't seen her. And so I was involved in some very significant litigation that went to our Court of Appeal in British Columbia.
Yeah.
And you're right. It was the mother who was fighting to see her daughter. So you're right.
Yeah.
There's the gender thing is really an illusion.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
So in Canada, and I want to make this clear, because Brian and I talked about this, you know, in Canada, it's a little bit different than it is in the United States, because if a law is made in Toronto or an order is given by a Supreme Court judge, it carries across Canada. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. That's right. We recognize the judgments and the orders of other jurisdictions in Canada, and of course, so that's absolutely correct.
And of course, here in the United States, if a law passes in Illinois, then that has to be picked up by, you know, a group or championed by a legislator in another state to have that law pass, because every state has its own autonomy when it comes to divorce laws and child custody and all of those things. So it's kind of it's very different in Canada, but I would say much more progressive than it is here. I wish it were that way here, that something
yes.
would take off like wildfire and spread across the country. But hopefully using some of these celebrities as mouthpieces that you know, we have Jason Patrick, and we did have Alec Baldwin and Carrie Kasem. Using people like this to speak out is so helpful for this platform. You know, while like, Carrie's case is a little different than what we're talking about now, it certainly feeds into that legislative reform that we need in the United States.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, I was looking at Carrie's case just over the last couple of days, and I've run into cases just like that. I can recall not that long ago having a father contact me. He had two children. His wife had died, and he asked me to meet with him so that he could strategize to see how he could keep his deceased wife's mother from having any contact with his children. And, of course, I was shocked that after the trauma these children went through because their mother died prematurely, that his next sort of job one was to make sure that their grandmother, their maternal grandmother, couldn't see them. And so there's you see these cases, unfortunately, they're more common than people realize, where there's this, you know, there's this alienation
mm-hmm,
that either
mm-hmm.
is, you know, children or grandparents or siblings, whatever it is. It's unfortunately too common.
And how did you resolve that case, Georgia Lee? What was the answer for you?
Well, it's interesting. In our legislation in British Columbia, grandparents are recognized as having some interest in seeing grandchildren, but unfortunately, our judges are way behind the times, and the law in British Columbia is that if there's any objection, you know, if the remaining parent objects, then that is given significant weight. And you know, I wasn't happy to tell my client that, you know, in fact, he probably had a good chance of preventing that contact. I didn't continue to act for him because I'm not really in the business of keeping children away from their grandparents. But I presume that the maternal grandmother probably got the legal advice and was told that she would have a very difficult time. And so I don't know what the outcome of that case was, but I know that we have a large grandparents' rights lobby group in British Columbia and in Canada, and that's what they're working on to try to, even though there's lip service to grandparents
mm-hmm.
Having the ability to bring, you know, parenting contact access applications, the judges just are not they're not allowing it. They're using their discretion to say, no, he's got a good reason why. And frankly, when I canvassed with him why he wouldn't want the children's grandmother to be involved, he really didn't have any good reasons. They usually don't.
Yeah, selfish, narcissistic reasons, but no good reasons, because we know from the social science that grandparents play a very important part in creating who that child is. And it really is true that it takes a village to raise a child. And why wouldn't you want anybody that could love that child to be in their life?
Yeah, it really astounds me that, and this was a, you know, not that it mattered, socioeconomic issues have nothing to do with it, but this was a very well-known doctor in British Columbia. So I was shocked that he would take that view, but that's the view he took.
This is a new day and a new year. Welcome to syndicatednews.net. This is Ruthie from Tell Me. So happy to see you again. So happy to be here bringing you new music and bringing you new ideas. Now, if you have something to gripe about or something you want to share with us, drop us a line, news@syndicatednews.net. We'd love to hear it. And if it's really interesting, we'll air it. We're always in the market for a new story.
This is Diana Harrison, and you're listening to syndicatednews.net radio.
One of the questions from the chat room, Georgia Lee, is just that. And I believe this is true. So, from what you just said, you may not believe that, but do you believe this happens in more prominent, high-profile families? I think it's middle to upper-class families that this happens in.
This is a new day and a new year. Welcome to syndicatednews.net. This is Ruthie from Tell Me. So happy to see you again. So happy to be here bringing you new music and bringing you new ideas. Now, if you have something to gripe about or something you want to share with us, drop us a line, news@syndicatednews.net. We'd love to hear it. And if it's really interesting, we'll air it. We're always in the market for a new story.
I think I have to agree with you, and you know, my practice mainly focuses on those groups of those kinds of communities. But certainly, you know, they with enough money and enough power, there's an element of arrogance that can be part of their lifestyle. And so, when they feel they have power and they have money, they use that to put forward the agenda they have, which in this particular case was keep grandma away. So it's very sad.
Oh, boy. Well, we've got a lot of work to do, that's for sure, and I'm glad that, you know, Georgia Lee's on the job, and everybody needs to take a look at Georgia's Law Diva blog. And Georgia, how do we find you? What's the address?
The address for the blog is lawdiva.wordpress.com, or you can simply Google Georgia Lee Lang, and you'll see a lot of the stuff I write. I write for the Huffington Post and one of the major newspapers in Canada. And I'm, you know, very involved in family law issues, and that's my main focus. So either one of those will turn them to my articles and my writing and my observations.
Perfect. Well, we will get together again soon, and I appreciate you coming in on such short notice and being here with me tonight. You were terrific.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to meeting you personally.
Me too. What, dinner in Chicago, or better yet, dinner in Palm Desert? I think
Let me know if you're coming to California, okay?
I will. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Thanks, Georgia Lee.
Thank you so much, Jill.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye. So, wow, what a great talk with Georgia Lee. And we are going to grab right now. I'm going to talk to Carrie Kasem. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How'd your show go today?
It went very well, thank you.
I am so glad. You were running a little late, and that was fine.
Yeah.
I understand that, but I was happy that Georgia Lee Lang, who is and I don't know how much you heard, I was speaking with Georgia Lee. She is an attorney out of Vancouver, but also has an office in Palm Desert, and she is really, really into your case and very, very up on parental alienation and all of the issues that I champion. So she's a great, great girl. You should really meet her sometime.
Would love to. I heard the Palm Desert. Palm Desert's great.
Yeah, it's a great place. Better than Illinois right now, I'll tell you that. So, I think I want to – is Troy coming on tonight as well?
You know, he's supposed to be calling in, so hopefully he will be.
Okay, I will watch for him. Same area code, right? 88818?
I think he's a 310. You know, in fact, I'm going to text him right now.
He's in L.A. Okay, I will watch for him. Well, we are here with Carrie Kasem. And, of course, my sister and I were talking today about we had a house in Mexico our whole life, and we drove there. And when we drove to Mexico, my dad would say, can we please turn off Casey Kasem now? And my sister and I giggled because we listened to your dad all the time. Of course, legendary man who had American Top 40, the voice of Shaggy on Scooby-Doo. Every Saturday morning we were downstairs watching that, and there's a lot of people, I'm 52, so there's a lot of people who, younger people who don't remember that, but wow, what a guy. And I have to say, he made three beautiful children, because you guys
incredibly
handsome children. But you're having an issue right now, and I'd like to just have you give me the background from childhood, because your father's been married to Jean for 33 years, right?
Right, right. Yes, you know, they got married soon after my mom actually asked my dad for a divorce. I think they would still be together, because he believed once you gave your word, that's your word.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was not him who asked for the divorce. So he got married soon after and gave that same...
How old were the three of you when that happened?
I was 9. My brother was 8. My sister was 6.
Okay.
Yeah. So that happened. And my father's wife, Jean, did not want us at the wedding. And that was the first blow. And it's like, wait a second. Hold on, you know, we're part of the family here. Doesn't she want us all? And it was a very clear message to us, even back then when we were kids, was no, you know, I'm not marrying you, you know, you guys, it's your dad, and that's it. And I know my dad apologized later and said it was the wrong thing to do and we should have had you. And, you know, it was always, well, she's very insecure, she's going to get better, you know, she needs to learn to know you. It's just a very, all these excuses. And but it was, you know, when you're that young, you're not stupid. You know what's going on,
right?
And it was hurtful. It was horrible.
And so, as your life went on with Jean and your dad, how did you feel about how she was treating you? And what was the custody arrangement? How often were you with your mom, and how often were you with your dad?
We were with my father Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and my mom Monday through, you know, Friday, she'd take us to school. My dad would pick us up. So we were with him 3 days a week. And, you know, I love my dad, and I loved him so much. But, sometimes it was hard dealing with a woman who just didn't like you. And and you try so hard at that age, too. You really want them to like you. So you do everything you can to get them to like you, and they still don't.
I think it would be really difficult to live that way. I married a man who, at 19, who had a 2-year-old and a 9-month-old. And they were my children. I raised them as my children. There wasn't a choice. And so it would be difficult at your age to first not be at the wedding, not be accepted immediately. And I can't imagine the hurt that you must have felt.
It was horrible, but you know, it got worse and worse as time went on, and so much so that you know, we would go over to the house and we wouldn't even see his wife. We wouldn't even see her. She wouldn't even, you know, be there. So then eventually she didn't want us at the house. So all our visits took place at my sister's house or my house or my brother's house. You know, my dad would come out to see us. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what was happening for the last 15 years, is he would always come over to our houses on the weekends and we'd see him. I mean, I worked for him for a long time too. And so we'd see our dad all the time. And to be blocked, this is a man who gave us everything, who gave his children everything. Not money and not necessarily material things, but who we are, our integrity, our work ethic, who we are as people. Mm-hmm. And I owe my dad everything. And he was, I mean, if we were sick, didn't matter how busy, you know, he was, didn't matter at all. If my grades were low, didn't matter. He was at school every day making sure I was turning in my homework. He was by my bedside if I was sick. He was always there for us, and we can't be there for him. And this game that his wife is playing, this very evil, disgusting game, letting him sit in the hospital and rot with nobody around him, none of his loved ones, none of his friends. You know, if you took us out of the equation, even let's say we were terrible kids, let's say that we did something wrong, which we didn't, but let's say we did. This woman isn't allowing anyone who loves him around him right now.
And including his brother, his brother.
That's right.
I mean, any member of his family.
Best friends, his cousins, anyone. Anyone.
So when, Carrie, was the contact completely cut off?
Last July. And let me tell you something. The contact was cut off for no reason. There was no reason given. She just kept giving these excuses. And we have all this, like, on texts and in emails, because the only person that my dad's wife would respond to was my sister. She's a mm-hmm. physician's assistant. She's a palliative care was her is what she did, which is end-of-life care. Mm-hmm. And so she would write these letters that if Gene didn't respond, they were legal letters. Like, this is not, you know, this is not what you do to somebody who has dementia. This is not what you do with somebody with Parkinson's. You know, is my dad getting physical therapy? Is this, you know, and all these questions. She would answer, and then it just all of a sudden cut off, just nothing. You can't see your father. That's it. There's no excuse. I mean, there was nothing. And then she wouldn't return. I mean, first of all, she wasn't returning anybody's calls for 2 years leading up to this. Anybody, like his friends, his brother, nobody. She shut everybody out. So all of his friends and all of his coworkers, all of his cousins, all of the extended family would call us to see how my dad was doing, because she never got back to anybody.
When she went sort of radio silent, or when your dad went radio silent, then who was the first one to speak up? I mean, was it you? Did you step up and say, look, something's got to change? There is no contact with anybody that's close to my dad.
Well, this is what happened. Like, a month before she blocked us, she was on TMZ, and you can go to TMZ.com and look this up. Look up Gene Kasem. She told the cameras that she's in talks to star in the Beverly Hills Housewives. Okay, this is a woman where my dad is dying, and she's trying to get a reality show. This is a woman who's created a fake page on Facebook as my father. My father didn't even know what Facebook was or Twitter. Didn't even use a computer. Couldn't even turn one on. Pretending to be him, saying, "If you believe that I would make that my wife would make the funniest housewife, please tweet. Start tweeting now." Like, my dad would tweet. That word coming out of my dad's mouth wouldn't happen, you know? So this is a woman who, you know, has told people that we would be harmful to my dad if we were to visit, yet wants to pull in cameras and drama into a house where my dad is so sick and so ill. And it's just unbelievable that this is happening to him. Like, a man who gave so much and loved so much is dying alone.
And so last July this started, and then when did the legal paperwork start coming? Because she did put in legal paperwork that she didn't want you there because there was unspecified disturbing conduct by stepchildren, and that would be intolerable and unpleasant experience for all of them, specifically for your dad, for Casey.
So
when did that start coming?
That's so sad. You know, we are my dad's greatest joy, and anybody who knows my dad, anyone who has spent even a small amount of time with my dad, knows that we are his joy, that his family means more to him than anything. It is so disgusting that she would write that. Anyone who loves my father is an enemy to her, anyone who loves my dad. So for her to write that we are intolerable, to her we are intolerable. To my dad, we are life, we are joy, we are happiness. And
now, is he in the hospital now, or is he at home?
Well, he spent 2.5 months rotting in a hospital. A hospital, not a hospice care, not, you know, asking to go home, begging to go home. There's a guard at his door, so nobody who loves him can get in and sit with him. So he's left alone most days. I got to see him for a little bit during the Christmas vacation. My sister, because she signed something with my stepmother I would not sign. She got to see him a little more, but then a few weeks ago he was taken again from her, and from, you know, just basically she was the only one allowed to visit for a few minutes a day, taken from her and hidden. TMZ found him in a I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a, what kind of care facility it is, but it is a care facility. TMZ found him. She wouldn't, once again, answer anybody's phone calls, the lawyers, my sisters, no emails. She hid him, again, from us, so he could just die alone. The mentality to where you have to be, to what, where you think that this is okay, to take a man and in his last days rip him away from anyone who loves him is so sick. But you know what? There's so many people in this country that this is going on, the same situation, the same heartbreak, the same sadness, the same frustration, the same anger. And I just said I have to do something. Yes, I am one person with one case, but there's thousands of people with the same issue. So I said, I have to do something. I got to create a bill. I got to change this law to where kids have visitation rights, adult children having visitation rights to an ailing parent, even if the spouse opposes. And I'm not saying all kids deserve this. There might be harmful kids out there, but kids who are loving, kids who have had a relationship with that parent and all of a sudden are cut off, it's common sense that this does not need to happen and that things need to change. So for people that are in my position or somebody who knows anybody that's in my position, we need to hear from you. We need your story. I set up the Kasem Cares Foundation, and you can find it, kasemcares.org. Please go there. You can see, you know, we have events. You can donate there. We need donations because we have to keep the lobbyists going in Sacramento. But, you know, we do need your stories, too. We need the more stories, the better. You know,
be very careful. I assume you've set up a 501(c) not-for-profit foundation.
501(c)(4). It's a 501(c)(4).
C4. Okay.
Yes. A C4 meaning it's not tax deductible because this is political. Yeah.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yeah,
okay,
no money
good.
Goes
because
to
I wanted
me at
you
all.
To be careful if you were a 501(c) talking about legislative influence because that's very bad with a 501(c).
No,
but good.
It's not a C. It's not. No, we've done this right. My stepfather is a lawyer and a lobbyist. So he helped me set this whole thing up. You know, none of us are receiving money. This all goes to the lobbyists that we've hired, and you know, to get awareness out there, because it does take money to make, you know, to make people aware. Hey, this is what's going on, and unfortunately, because it's a probate law, meaning it's a family, it's dealing with family issues, we cannot go federal with it. We have to go state to state.
Right.
So it's going to take a lot of money to go state to state, but not, you know, kids in California, you know, it shouldn't be only them that get to see their ailing parents. It should be every single person in every state.
Well,
you know, that has these rights.
What you're doing is incredibly important. It's what I do all day long, every day, along with many others across the United States who try to change laws. I sat on a committee here in Illinois to rewrite the Illinois Marriage and Dissolution Act, and I work on legislation all the time. You know, it is incredibly important what you're doing, and because you do have the name that you have, it's even more important because people sit up and take notice. I mean, you've been on many, many programs talking about this. So how important do you think it is for people to speak up and out about something that is near and dear to them like this is to you? I mean, I just want you to appeal to people right now because I grew up, my father was a congressman, my father was a state legislator for 16 years and then went to Washington, and I think people are intimidated by legislators and elected officials, but the truth is we put them where they are. So it isn't that you need to be intimidated. You need to tell them what you think, and if you have an issue, it's very important to speak up. Just give a plea to people now about trying to make that difference because you're doing it and you know what it takes.
It does. It takes a lot, but, you know, I come from in my family, my mother being, you know, a Republican fundraiser, my father being, you know, a diehard liberal. So I'm right there in the middle, and I watched her with all the fundraising she did. I watched him do, you know, his political activism, his marches, his, you know, raising money for, you know, who he thought, you know, the candidates who he thought should win. And I watched this, and I grew up with it, but I never really got into it. And never really got into politics, whether, you know, I talked about them on radio. I did a political talk show.
Sure.
But yeah, I never really thought, oh, I could get into this, I could make a difference, until something happened to me that was so painful that I said, this has to change. No person should have to go through this pain and sadness that can be stopped. And it can be stopped by changing a law. And it became simple. When you have something that's so painful and there's something that can change it, you just do it. You just do it. And
right.
And it really is writing letters, you know, to your assembly members, to your senators, to, you know, writing letters, getting a group of people that feel the same way together, you know, creating little fundraisers that can help pass a bill that you are into or that you want to create. It's not that hard. It's hard for people that don't understand politics, but once you just start doing it, it comes. I know people say, "Do what you love, and it comes." Well, this is something that not only it has to pass. Not only somebody that I love, I just can't. I can't watch this go on with anybody else. And all
right,
family,
you don't want anybody else to have to go through the pain that you're going through.
No,
that's why I do what I do. You know, I feel like God puts you in these places. I don't know what you are. You know, if you're agnostic or if you believe in anything, but I feel. Like God puts you in a place that you, I mean, this happened to me. I'm an alienated mom for a reason. And I have helped, I hope, hundreds of thousands of people. And if that happens with you, then you have done what you're supposed to do. Tell me where that legislation is right now in California. What in what step are you in the process?
Oh, right now we do have it's SB 2034. We've got that far. I have Assemblyman Mike Gatto, who's taken on the bill, who's authoring the bill. I'm now going to go be in.
Or a Democrat?
He's a Democrat. He's a Democrat.
Okay. Okay.
And so. He's taken on this bill. He's decided to run with it, and I'm so very, very happy about that. I'm going to go up and start talking to assembly members and senators next week, the week after. You know, and then it's got to pass in the assembly. It's got to pass in the Senate, and we will have this bill. But so far, there hasn't been much opposition, and it's basically what basic. You know, this is basically what the bill states is that, you know, children have the right to visit, but also it allows a judge to adjudicate, to rule on this. Right now there's nothing in the law books that allows a judge to rule on visitation.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You have to have that conservatorship or that durable power, and even then it is hard. So at least this is going to give children without that conservatorship, you know, something to say, hey, look, you know, this isn't the law books now. Now you can rule on whether I can see my dying father or dying mother, because this is, I'm a good kid, and let me tell you why. And then, of course, the other side gets their right. And
right.
There's some due process here. And what's so hard to understand is this common sense. You know, kids want to see their parents when they're dying, and their parents want to be around the family when they're dying, for the most part. So right now we're full steam ahead and nothing's stopping us as of now. We don't have much pushback. So I'm very happy about that.
Good. That's great. And I mean, I really, it's such a great issue that it would be foolish for legislators to push back on this. You know, I could see maybe you would get some pushback from the California State Bar Association because I don't even know why. I mean, I would have to really think about that on some custody or parenting time issues for small children. The bar associations really push back, but this is really a no-brainer, and it would make them look very foolish if they were trying to really fight this issue. So I'm hopeful that you are successful in it. You know, the way your voice is sounding, I you're like a pit bull. So I'm hopeful that you will get it through. I'm going to grab a call. We have a call from Pennsylvania. Hi, Pennsylvania caller, 814 area code. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
And what's your name?
Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Do you have a question for Carrie Kasem?
Hi, Carrie. I admire what you're doing, and I hope you get to see your father very soon.
Thank you.
I am also was an alienated parent. I just reunified with my daughter, and it's a slow process. But I see some similarities between the two cases, and quickly want to say is somehow in the future, I was hoping and almost pleading that you would use your celebrity status to bring some more attention to parental alienation where they're, like yourself, children that have had a loving relationship with a parent are truly alienated, from their other parent. So, that other parent is pressuring that. So, and there's a timeline there involved, too. You know, as I watch some of the news shows, I see them showing timelines of the kidnapped children, you know, that went to Bulgaria. There's a timeline. Or, you know, here these parents love, you know, these children and there's proof, but, you know, now the children and the courts listen to that. Or, but in alienation and parental alienation of children of divorce in our situations like Jill and so many other parents, the courts are not listening or wanting to see any kind of proof of that because of such a big industry. And changing, I think in your case, going forward to change a law would really, really impact the situation you're in. But we need more education and awareness from the experts. And
you do.
Yeah, 60 minutes would be ideal.
Yeah, you know, Jason Patrick, are you familiar with him, the actor Jason Patrick?
Yes.
Okay. And you're familiar with Gus's Law?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, I didn't read it. I did see him on The View a couple times. I know he had, you know, mentioned parental alienation a couple times. Not as deep as, you know, some of us know it, but go ahead.
No, just he is really working towards that. And I know that, you know, it took a huge hit when his bill didn't pass, but he's still going for it. He's not, you know, dropped the ball and said, I'm done. He's really, you know, hoping things are going to change. And since my issue and my ordeal has been in the public, I've gotten so many letters from, like, moms or dads that have been alienated from their child, and it is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And I did create the Case and Cares Foundation, not just to pass this one bill, but to, you know, for there to be justice for everybody. And, you know, this could be the next bill I take on. Right now, I want to see this through and get the visitation bill passed. And that will probably be my next bill, because it's heartbreaking. And I'm so glad that you now get to see your child.
Right. I wish. I also, you know, like, I didn't see the documentary Divorce Corps, but, you know, I'm hoping that one of these shows will take note of that, because I hear it is really good and kind of exposes what the industry is doing. And I'd like to see education about divorce and custody in the high schools and colleges to try to prevent these things from happening, because there's so many experts. Jill has contact with so many experts. And we have research psychologists and whatnot to get this out there. But, you know, school counselors don't even want to hear about it. And that's what I work in. You know, I'm a school counselor, and, you know, other school counselors don't even want to hear about it. And there's kids in their schools that are suffering, but they don't know how to say, hey, my parent's alienating me, because they're aligning with the parent that's alienating them.
Yeah.
And rejecting the other, so they don't know how, they don't want to know, understand how to identify that. So education is, like,
very
is paramount.
Thanks, Cindy. We appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you, Jill. Thank you, Carrie. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a good night. Well, you know, that's just a mom that's working so hard, it sounds like, to really make a difference. And they're out there everywhere. And you've had contact with many people, you said, that are having the same experience that you are.
Yeah.
How do you counsel them, Carrie? What do you say to them at this point?
That's a very good question, because what I can do is just listen. And
yeah.
I hear their frustration, and I hear their anger. I hear their sadness. A lot of times it's too late, and they didn't get to say goodbye to their mom or their dad. And most of the time it's the dad. Most of the time it's a step-parent. Not all the time, though. Not all the time. Just hearing the stories, and they say, well, what can I do? And they can start writing, you know, the assemblyman and the senator. They can start writing, you know, their elected officials and saying, hey, you know, do you know about what's going on in California? Or if they're in California, they can still write. But to start creating a buzz about it, to start getting people in your area interested in this and say, hey, let's, you know, we can do a fundraiser, we can do that. Just, you know, what I said before, but start to be proactive, and it helps. Because when you're sitting there and you feel helpless and you feel like there's nothing you can do and all this anger is eating you up, you've got to channel that energy somewhere else, somewhere that's going to help you or help somebody down the line. And that's really the best advice I can give somebody, is to don't sit in your anger and don't sit in your sadness, because your loved one wouldn't want you doing that.
No, and I think that's really important what you say. I call that, and I hope I've coined this phrase because I've said it for years, but I call it waiting actively. You cannot sit and wring your hands and wait. You've got to wait actively, and that means being proactive and being an advocate for yourself and for your children, in your case, for your dad. And you've got to really work towards change. It is imperative that we make a difference in family law, in family structure in this country, because if we don't, there is going to, I mean, I, you know, I'm 52, I'm not sure how old you are, but I, you know, you look to be like 19. I know you're
I'm 41. I'm 41.
This is a new day and a new year. Welcome to syndicatednews.net. This is Ruthie from Tell Me. So happy to see you again. So happy to be here bringing you new music and bringing you new ideas. Now, if you have something to gripe about or something you want to share with us, drop us a line, news@syndicatednews.net. We'd love to hear it. And if it's really interesting, we'll air it. We're always in the market for a new story.
41. So, you know, when you and I are in nursing homes, we're going to have this generation of kids that we're raising entitled children right now. And these kids are products of divorce. 48% of these kids don't want to get married anyway. If they do, they have failed relationships. If parental alienation is brought into it, you know, there's loss of self-esteem, trust issues. So these kids all have these issues that are kept in, and they aren't allowed to get out, and we're going to have a generation of kids that aren't going to know what to do, aren't going to know how to have their own children and raise them correctly.
That's right.
Very scary. So we have to really make a difference. I mean, you said it. You were raised with morals, ethics, integrity, and I was too. You know, and if we don't instill that in our children, we're going to have a real problem. And unless it affects you, you don't care, and people can't care, because if it's going to happen, we have to all care. It affects
you. True.
And so what you're doing is what everybody should be doing. And I think California is making some real headway in family law, as is Illinois. And so how do we get involved in the campaign that you're fighting there in California? How can we carry the Casey Kasem banner?
The best thing to do is, if you know anybody that's going through this, or if you yourself are going through the same situation where you are being blocked from seeing a loved one who is sick, to write your story down and send it to me. You can go to KasemCares.org. That's KasemCares.org. Send me your story. It's so very important that we can show the Assembly and the Senate, hey, it's not just me. This is not just one celebrity's daughter, you know, and a celebrity issue. This is happening to thousands of people. This is a bigger issue than just me, and that's really what we need to show. It's basically this law, this bill is such common sense. It's not saying yes, kids automatically get to see their dying parent. It's not that. It's not that at all. It's letting a judge hear both sides of the story and ruling on that, which they can't do right now. So let's get this bill going. And even if you're not in California, we're going to go, the Kasem Care Foundation is going to go to every state and get this bill. You know, we're going to try and get this bill passed in every single state. It's just common sense.
Carrie, that was my next question. Is there anything on the books in any state right now that is even similar to this law?
You know, not that I know of, because everything needs a conservatorship, everything needs a durable power. And even when we had that, when we were in front of Judge Leslie Green, she couldn't rule on visitation, even though the doctor that went in, it was a court-appointed doctor, went in to see my dad. My dad said, I want to see my children, to see my children. And at that point, it had been 3 or 4 months since we'd seen him. And even his own words could not allow, the judge could not say, you know, Matt, let's get you some visitation here. She couldn't even do that. She said, why don't you guys hammer it out and see what we can come up with? But when you're dealing with somebody who is blocking you for no reason at all except just evil intentions, there, how do you then go and try and negotiate visitation rights?
Yeah.
How? Right?
What, she has a child. She has a child as well, right? Jean has a child with your dad?
Yes.
And what's your relationship, and how old is that child?
She's 23. We were not allowed. My dad's wife didn't want us having any relationship with her at all.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. So I don't know her. I don't know her. I did as a child. We did, you know, get to hang out with her when she was very young. But when we'd go over there, she was, you know, whisked away, or we weren't allowed over the house anymore. So we, you know, she never came over. We were not allowed to have any relationship with her. So I don't know her.
It's very sad.
It's
sad.
Pathetic.
It's very sad that a woman is threatened by, you know, your father's children. It's just incredibly heartbreaking to me for you. I hope the very, very best for you.
Thank you.
Do you anticipate that, I don't know what the schedule for the California legislature is. Will that bill, do you have a spring session, and will that be passed this session, or will you go into fall?
Possibly. Yeah,
okay.
Possibly. You know, Assemblyman Mike Gatto was saying that he, you know, might put an urgency, you know, clause on it, might pass it through. I can't remember the exact terminology, but it's you put urgent on the bill and it can get passed, right? Like, so in summer, it could be put into effect. If not, you know, the fall, and then in January, it would go into effect. So I don't know if my dad will be there, you know, be around for that.
Oh, my goodness. And he has Parkinson's, and he's
No, he
80.
Actually doesn't. This is something he actually, we've been calling it Parkinson's because it's all we knew, but he has Lewy body's disease, which is very much like Parkinson's, but it affects you neurologically first, and that's why he lost his voice and he had some dementia. But he's very aware when we're in the room. He knows who we are. It's not like he can't remember our names or anything like that. He knows we're there. He says our names. So on good days when he can talk, and this is a few months ago when we got to see him, he, you know, would say, I love you, and he was very, very confused at why there was a guard with a gun in the room and why he was writing down everything we were saying and staring at us. He's very confused at that. He's very confused at why my sister and my brother and I couldn't be in the same room with him at the same time, or why he couldn't call his, why we couldn't call his brother to put him, you know, on the phone with him.
Yeah.
He was being treated like an inmate, and it was disgusting. Disgusting.
Well, again, hopes for you are positive your way, and we hope that it's resolved very, very soon, and that Jean Kasem comes to her senses.
No, that's not going to happen. That's why we're creating the law. That's just not going to happen.
Well, I'd like you to get me that language on that law, because I will have it introduced here in Illinois, and
fantastic.
If we can, you know, two states, and then we'll move on from there. I think we could probably get it done in Connecticut as well pretty quickly. So if you can get me that language, I would be happy to do that here for you, and for everybody in Illinois. You know, we want to make this across the board that adult children can see their ailing parent, and I can't imagine what you're going through, but we are going to get this done. Again, give me the address of the Kasem Cares Foundation.
It is. It's Kasem, K-A-S-E-M, like Mary, Kasem Cares, C-A-R-E-S, org or CaseandCares Foundation.org. It'll all go to the same place. So, yeah, please find me there. I'm also on Facebook. I do read everything people send me. So if you can't find CaseandCares.org, you can find me or either or on Facebook at Carrie Kasem, and that's K-E-R-R-I-K-A-S-E-M.
And it's really important, everybody, that if you're listening to Carrie today, when she's telling you to write her letters, do it. Because if Carrie has to testify in front of any House or Senate committee, which I'm sure she will, because I'm sure in California you have to go through committees just like you do everywhere else, that she has some really great stories to relate to these legislators and not just her own. So please write her and let her know what you're going through. There is strength in numbers. Voices make, a lot of voices, they can really hear you, and they can't hear you unless you speak up. So please send your letters to Carrie and let her know what you're going through. And Carrie, I just appreciate you. I know you were jam-packed today, and thank you for being here tonight and talking about this with you, spearheading this effort. Jason is out there doing what he can do, and you guys just keep speaking out. I don't want you to go silent. You're an important voice in for this issue, but it crosses over to so many other issues that affect alienated parents and divorced parents who have children who they're not seeing. So please keep up the good work. I'm here to help you in any way I can, and we just are rooting for you. So go for it. Thank you.
And I will get you that language. And let's get this bill passed in Illinois and Connecticut. Let's do it. Thank you so much for having me on.
We will. And thank you, Carrie. And as your dad would say, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. And this is Jill Ajizi, and this was Family Matters. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We'll see you real soon. Good night.
This is a new day and a new year. Welcome to syndicatednews.net. This is Ruthie from Tell Me. So happy to see you again. So happy to be here bringing you new music and bringing you new ideas. Now, if you have something to gripe about or something you want to share with us, drop us a line, news@syndicatednews.net. We'd love to hear it. And if it's really interesting, we'll air it. We're always in the market for a new story.